You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. To the house here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. President of the United States is going to make some remarks here momentarily. So we will certainly welcome him to our house. And we'll wait for him to evidently declare an emergency on the nation's southern border. How about that? I have this to say about that. You know, there's a real crisis going on down there. Okay, all the politics aside, Donald Trump aside and Nancy Pelosi aside, there is a real crisis going on down there. And it involves people risking their lives to come to this country, being exploited. It involves human trafficking, predominantly women being kidnapped and forced into the sex trades. It has to do with the rights of American citizens who live on the northern side of that border not to be overrun by crime, by the coyote industry down there. And then it involves people that are already in this country. And so, for whatever reason, a lot of politicians who are serving in Congress voted to appropriate, billions and billions of dollars, multiples of what the President of the United States is asking for, in the last 10 years alone. But now won't do it. And they won't do it for political reasons. Is that understandable? And this is what I hate about politics. So once again, the good of the party comes before the good of the nation. And that's wrong as wrong could be. Okay, the United States of America ought to have an orderly immigration system. The United States of America needs to deal with the people that have come into this country illegally. It needs to deal with the people that had children while they were here illegally, now known as Dreamers. They didn't do anything wrong. They just got born here. So, so what you're going to hear in the aftermath of this is the president has abused his power. And I would just offer you this. There needs to be a solution to the situation on the southern border. Okay? And I offer this solution again. Okay? You've got to secure the southern border. But again, since that was one of his campaign pledges, you can see why the Democratic Party will not allow that, in spite of the fact that most of them voted while President Obama was in office to fund multiples of $5 billion, what, $25 billion at one point it was for the wall, or something, whatever you want to call that thing. if we don't call it the wall for political reasons. So anyway, so the solution looks like this. First step, secure the southern border. Why is that important? Well, because when we deal with the Dreamers and we deal with their parents, we're not going to do this again. Done. Finished. On to greater things in this country. And you know what? And we need to get on to greater things in this country. Okay? So this game of politics is, in my opinion, is an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke. And it is what got Donald Trump elected in the first place. The frustrations that Americans feel with the fact that elected officials don't listen and they don't solve problems. So, I mean, if you watch the news, right, between the president's wall, you have a Democratic counterproposal of nothing. Zero. Okay, so where does that leave us as a nation trying to solve this problem? Doesn't leave us anywhere. It leaves us continuing to kick this thing down the road. And that is not, that's not right. That is not right. And again, why are we kicking it down the road? We're kicking it down the road for political purposes. For no other reason than that, and we all know it. So, the solution is you secure the southern border, right? You then give the Dreamers a pathway to legal status in the United States on the condition that they not be violent criminals, right? And they, not legal status, but citizenship. There's no reason that should be denied to them. They didn't do anything wrong coming to this country. And you lay out a process that they can do that. For their parents will have a pathway. Again, I know this is going to disappoint Ann Coulter and all you Ann Coulterites, but deal with it. That they will have a path towards legal status in the country, although that legal status will fall short of citizenship. And so we will be done with this issue. Okay? We will be done playing stupid political games with the lives of people that have come to this country because for whatever reason the United States was content as a nation to host a porous border. Why? Good question. Good question. Why the Democrats would overwhelmingly support constructing walls at one point and now flip-flop and do something else. You know, why this wouldn't get done earlier, I'm not exactly sure. But I think we need to, as a nation, we need to get beyond it. So you will hear great political hand-wringing today. And then this will ultimately go to the Supreme Court to decide, did the president overstep his bounds in declaring an emergency and using funds that he's taken from other parts of the federal budget to put together to build a wall? Okay. And so, but I will tell you that, Congress has had, more than enough time to do something. And for political reasons, what is there, $1.3 billion in the latest, proposal? I mean, it's how Donald Trump got elected. And it is, people go to Washington, D.C. And again, it'll be very interesting how the latest group that allowed Nancy Pelosi to stay in power, because this is the bullshit that people go crazy over, right? This is the gridlock. This is do nothing. this is what got him elected. So we shall see. But again, make no mistake. There's a real crisis on that border that affects real people, and the Congress of the United States has seen fit for all these years not to be able to solve it. And if you want to quarrel about the wall, I won't quarrel with you. I don't care what you call it. If you want to call it increased security, if you want to call it a barrier, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you have to have something, because once we deal with the Dreamers and their parents, we're not doing it again. There is no Dreamer 2 that we came here. Sorry, that is not happening. So I think the other thing that's interesting is that the president, in my opinion, is using the powers of the presidency, which I would say that a lot of presidents have chosen not to do. And if the courts then turn around and say he can't do that, very well. But the president has broad latitude in these kind of events. It is an international border, without a doubt. There is a humanitarian. If you talk to anybody that's worked down there, yeah, it is a crisis. The stories that they will tell you are no bueno, man. Absolutely, positively no bueno. So he will make his remarks, and then we'll listen to that this morning here in the first hour. The chef will join us, and then the gunner will join us. So that's what we'll do today. I don't know. I'm not sure if we'll get to too many Marine headlines today, but we'll see how that goes. I also wanted to talk about the 25th Amendment. Oh, I got an email from somebody who was listening to the broadcast and said, "Hey, Mac, I'm familiar with that Silver Star that you read, and and they heavily redacted the citation that was published. What he did was way more than what was reported publicly. So I will, let's see, if you're listening to this, I will include in it a link and some images of some of the vehicles that are described that they've constructed. And they're essentially very similar to what the Marines constructed in 2004 when we didn't have up-armored Humvees, and they took sheet metal and they welded it or strapped it onto sheet metal. They took quarter-inch plates of steel and fortified Humvees with it. Yeah. So, you got that out there. So, you'll see these pictures. It's like, holy shit. Some of them do look like Mad Max Thunderdome too. Right? You hear that thrown around, but, these like legitimately look like that. They're ghetto vehicles. And so anyway, kind of a follow up to that story. And then I said, I want to talk about the 25th Amendment. I was watching TV yesterday as I was working, and the subject of the 25th Amendment came up. And I don't really, I have this experience on a regular basis. 25th Amendment, okay. It's for the removal of the president. Okay, but it's very specific in terms of why the president would be removed. But you're hearing about it in the wake of Andrew McCabe's interview on CBS. And I saw, who did I see? It might have been Alan Dershowitz talking. He said, look, anybody who's serious about the law understands the purpose of the 25th Amendment. So I want to go through the 25th Amendment with you. And honestly, it is disturbing that when you read the 25th Amendment and it cites the reasons that the president might be removed from office and the procedures that follow, it's more than a little bit disturbing that a guy like Andrew McCabe would cite such the 25th Amendment as the pretense for actions against the president. Because you read it and and it simply doesn't apply. And so so I read it last night, and I was like, wow. You know, Andy McCabe, like, the more he opens his mouth, the stupider I think that dude is. And he was supposed to be one of the high flyers at the FBI. So I want to do that too. But before we do anything else, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem on this Friday morning, the 15th of February. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the idea that, hold on. I want to play something that I played yesterday, but it is a week when we are reminded of the events at Marjorie Stoneman High School in Parkland, Florida. This is a reminder for all of us to be involved in the security of our children, that after the fact is not good enough, and that hope is not a course of action. Right? Everybody's on notice around the country about what can happen at a school and the number of threats that schools get. And for school districts and school boards to sit there and say, yeah, we don't want to commit the money to that, because if we do, we can't give our teachers raises across the district because we're going to have to hire somebody to do security at every school. If that's the rationale behind the thinking, then that needs to change. Then the school districts around the country need to put their hand in the air and say, hey, we need help. Because the only thing that stops a shooter is somebody else with a weapon. Or I saw a little video yesterday with dogs that react to the sound of gunshots, and then they go get the shooter. Why wouldn't we have that combination? And let me tell you, the dog will get there in a heartbeat, right? All you do is unleash the dog, and he goes looking for somebody with a gun. So why would we not have that combination on the grounds of every school in the country? Why not? So these are Andrew Pollack's comments from not quite a year ago. His daughter Meadow was shot 9 times on the 3rd floor of that high school while security people stood outside and worried about their own lives. So this is dedicated to every family that deals with trauma in the wake of that. God bless them. Don't be afraid to share, if you know any of them, don't be afraid to share post-traumatic winning and help them.
We're here because my daughter has no voice. She was murdered last week, and she was taken from us. Shot 9 times on the 3rd floor. We, as a country, failed our children. This shouldn't happen. We go to the airport. I can't get on a plane with a bottle of water, but we leave it. Some animal could walk into a school and shoot our children. It's just not right, and we need to come together as a country and work on what's important, and that's protecting our children in the schools. That's the only thing that matters right now. Everyone has to come together and not think about different laws. We need to come together as a country, not different parties, and figure out how we protect the schools. It's simple. It's not difficult. We protect airports. We protect concerts, stadiums, embassies, the Department of Education that I walked in today that has a security guard in the elevator. How do you think that makes me feel? In the elevator, they got a security guard. I'm very angry that this happened, because it keeps happening. 9/11 happened once, and they fixed everything. How many schools, how many children have to get shot? It stops here with this administration and me. I'm not gonna sleep until it's fixed. And Mr. President, we're gonna fix it. Because I'm gonna fix it. I'm not gonna rest. And look at my boys need to live with this. I want to see everyone. You guys look at this. Me, I'm a man, but to see your children go through this, bury their sister. So that's what I keep saying this, because I want it to sink in, not forget about this. We can't forget about it. All the school shootings, it doesn't make sense. Fix it. Should have been one school shooting, and we should have fixed it. And I'm pissed, because my daughter I'm not going to see again. She's not here. She's not here. She's in North Lauderdale at whatever it is, King David Cemetery. That's where I go to see my kid now. And it stops. We all work together and come up with the right idea. And it's school safety. It's not about gun laws right now. That's another fight, another battle. Let's fix the schools, and then you guys can battle it out whatever you want. But we need our children safe. Monday, tomorrow, whatever day it is, your kids are going to go to school. You think everyone's kids are safe? I didn't think it was going to happen to me. If I knew that, I would have been at the school every day if I knew it was that dangerous. It's enough. Let's get together, work with the president, and fix the schools. That's it. No other discussions. Security, whatever we have to do. Get the right people, the consultants. These are our commodities, man. I'm never going to see my kid again. I want you all to know that. Never, ever will I see my kid. That's how. I want it to sink in. It's eternity. My beautiful daughter, I'm never going to see again. And it's simple. It's not, we could fix it.
When you hear that, you hear the emotion in his voice, right? And have you seen a bill that dedicates funding for schools, right? A federal, state, and local share of it. Federal pays 75%, state pays 20%, local pays 5%. Have you seen that? No, you haven't seen that. So at the federal level, I know Florida, and we'll talk about what Florida's done. And so, so don't forget to stay involved in that issue, and don't forget to check on it. I mean, it's honestly a reminder to me. I went to a PTO meeting, I went to a school board meeting, and I believe that nothing was done. Other than they fixed fences, blah, 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 blah. And why wasn't anything done? There's no. So now we're going to hope it doesn't happen. We're going to hope it doesn't happen. Anyway. All right. And president is supposedly going to speak here in a few minutes, so I'm not sure if I should light this off or not, so I will. This is dedicated to those families. And in the hope that, look, the nation's sick of this thing on the border. It's sick of the human trafficking. It's sick of watching people get thrown over barriers. Little kids get thrown over barriers. Little kids getting used by people that aren't related to them. And all that goes on down there. Because we can't control that border. And we don't have an orderly immigration system. Right? And I'll tell you this. That we should have a system that allows for immigration from Central America. From some of those countries. Because let me tell you, if I was down there, I wouldn't stay there. I'd be in the United States. I'd be wall hopping forever. So, but for whatever reason, it's too hard for us to fix it. So, this is dedicated to problem solving today. All right? Anybody out there who's a problem solver, this is dedicated to you.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. Cloudy and 56 in Quantico. It is cloudy and 66 at Camp Lejeune. It is cloudy and 57 in Granbury, Texas. Camp Pendleton's clouds and 45. That's actually warmed up, if you can believe that. 29 Palms is clouds and 42. Okinawa is dark, cloudy, and 72, so that's warmer. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is cloudy and dark and 50 degrees. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 48 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is cloudy and 50 degrees, looking for rain showers and 60 degrees. Yeah, I've never seen weather like this in my life for this long in this state. Pretty amazing. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. Waiting for the president to make his remarks as we'll enter a different phase of this this border event that seems to be not resolvable. And again, you know, much of it is Donald Trump, right? Now, you know, but why didn't this get done under President Obama? Did the Republicans oppose it? I don't get it. Maybe someday somebody can enlighten me into why this is how our country works when it deals with its problems. So we're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Stand by for the president here on a Friday edition. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@oldmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
That is Peyton Davis, just in case you were confused. All right, let me do the top five stories in early bird and clear the decks here. Number one, former Air Force Tech Sergeant who defected to Iran, charged with espionage. This is yesterday's edition of the early bird. Why? Not updated. All right, so we'll skip that. We'll go straight to Marine stuff. Oops, I take that back. President of the United States just walked out of the back door of the White House. He just got done with his physical. Said he was in good health, although he's bordering on being obese. So here he is.
Before we begin, I'd like to just say that we have a large team of very talented people. In China, we've had a negotiation going on for about 2 days. It's going extremely well. Who knows what that means, because it only matters if we get it done, but we're very much working very closely with China and President Xi, who I respect a lot. very good relationship that we have, and we're a lot closer than we ever were in this country with having a real trade deal. We're covering everything, all of the points that people have been talking about for years that said couldn't be done, whether it was theft or anything. The unfairness. We've been losing, on average, $375 billion a year with China. A lot of people think it's $506 billion. Some people think it's much more than that. We're going to be leveling the playing field. The tariffs are hurting China very badly. They don't want them, and frankly, if we can make the deal, it'd be my honor to remove them. But otherwise, we're having many billions of dollars pouring into our treasury. We've never had that before with China. It's been very much of a one-way street. So that's happening, and the relationship with China is very good, but I think they finally respect our country. They haven't respected us for a long time. Not for a long time. The UK and the US, as you probably have been seeing and hearing, we're agreeing to go forward and preserve our trade agreement. You know all of the situation with respect to Brexit and the complexity and the problems, but we have a very good trading relationship with UK, and that's just been strengthened further. So with the UK, we're continuing our trade, and we are going to actually be increasing it very substantially as time goes by. We expect that the UK will be very, very substantially increased as it relates to trade with the United States. The relationship there also is very good. We have a lot of great announcements having to do with Syria and our success with the eradication of the caliphate, and that'll be announced over the next 24 hours, and many other things. A lot of positive things are going on. We're working on a summit, and you know all about the summit. It'll be in Vietnam, Hanoi, and we'll be meeting in Hanoi. I think a lot of you will be going, I suspect. And I hope we have the same good luck as we had in the first summit. A lot was done in the first summit. No more rockets going up, no more missiles going up, no more testing of nuclear. Get back our remains, the remains of our great heroes from the Korean War. And we got back our hostages. But we hope we're going to be very much equally as successful. I'm in no rush for speed. We just don't want testing. The sanctions, as you know, remain. Everything is remaining. China's been helping us. And Russia's been helping us. And South Korea, I think you can say, has been, we've been working very closely with South Korea, with Japan. But China, Russia on the border have really been at least partially living up to what they're supposed to be doing. And that's okay, as per the United Nations. So we will have a meeting on the 27th and 28th of February. And I think that will be a very successful one. I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim. We have also established a very good relationship, which has never happened between him or his family and the United States. They have really taken advantage of the United States. Billions of dollars has been paid to them. And we won't let that happen, but we think that North Korea and Chairman Kim have a tremendous potential as an economic force, economic power. Their location between South Korea and then Russia and China, right smack in the middle, is phenomenal. And we think they have a great chance for tremendous economic prosperity in the future. So I look forward to seeing Chairman Kim in Vietnam. Today I'm announcing several critical actions that my administration is taking to confront a problem that we have right here at home. We fight wars that are 6,000 miles away, wars that we should have never been in many cases, but we don't control our own border. So we're going to confront the national security crisis on our southern border, and we're going to do it one way or the other. We have to do it. Not because it was a campaign promise, which it is. It was one of many, by the way, not my only one. We're rebuilding the military. Our economy is thriving like never before. You look at other economies, they're doing terribly, and we're doing phenomenally. The market is up tremendously today. Not that there's anything, but, you know, because I'll go back in and they'll say, oh, the market just went down. But the market is getting close to the new highs that we created. We have all the records. We have every record, but we're getting close to that point again where we'll create new records. So our country is doing very well economically, and we've done a lot. But one of the things I said I have to do and I want to do is border security, because we have tremendous amounts of drugs flowing into our country, much of it coming from the southern border. When you look and when you listen to politicians, in particular certain Democrats, they say it all comes through the port of entry. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's just a lie. It's all a lie. They say walls don't work. Walls work 100%. Whether it's El Paso, I really was smiling because the other night I was in El Paso. We had a tremendous crowd. And I asked the people, many of whom were from El Paso, but they came from all over Texas. And I asked them, I said, let me ask you, as a crowd, when the wall went up, was it better? You were there, some of you. It was not only better, it was like 100% better. You know what they did. But that's only one example. There are so many examples. In El Paso, they have close to 2,000 murders right on the other side of the wall. And they had 23 murders. It's a lot of murders. But it's not close to 2,000 murders right on the other side of the wall in Mexico. So everyone knows that walls work, and there are better examples than El Paso, frankly. You just take a look almost everywhere. Take a look at Israel. They're building another wall. Their wall is 99.9% effective, they told me. 99.9%. That's what it would be with us, too. The only weakness is they go to a wall and then they go around the wall. They go around the wall and in. Okay? That's what it is. Very simple. And a big majority of the big drugs, the big drug loads, don't go through ports of entry. They can't go through ports of entry. You can't take big loads because you have people. We have some very capable people, the Border Patrol, law enforcement, looking. You can't take human traffic, women and girls. You can't take them through ports of entry. You can't have them tied up in the back seat of a car or a truck or a van. They open the door. They look. They can't see three women with tape in their mouth or three women whose hands are tied. They go through areas where you have no wall. Everybody knows that. Nancy knows it. Chuck knows it. They all know it. It's all a big lie. It's a big con game. You don't have to be very smart to know. You put up a barrier, the people come in, and that's it. They can't do anything unless they walk left or right and they find an area where there's no barrier and they come into the United States. Welcome. We've detained more people. Our border agents are doing such incredible work. Our military has been incredible. We put up barbed wire on top of certain old walls that were there. We fixed the wall and we loaded up with barbed wire. It's very successful. But our military has been fantastic, and I want to thank them. And it's very necessary. We've broken up two caravans that are on their way. They just are breaking. They're in the process of breaking up. We have another one that we haven't been able to break up yet. We've been actually working with Mexico much better than ever before. I want to thank the president. I want to thank Mexico. They have their own problems. They have the largest number of murders that they've ever had in their history. Almost 40,000 murders. 40,000. And they got to straighten that out, and I think they will. But I just want to thank the president because he's been helping us with these monstrous caravans that have been coming up. We had one that was up to over 15,000 people. It's largely broken up. Others have gotten through. And in Tijuana, you have a lot of people staying there. If we didn't have the wall up and if we didn't have the wall secured and strengthened, they would have walked right through. They'd be welcome to the United States. One of the things we'd save just a tremendous amount on would be sending the military. If we had a wall, we don't need the military because we'd have a wall. So I'm going to be signing a national emergency. And it's been signed many times before. It's been signed by other presidents. From 1977 or so, it gave the presidents the power. There's rarely been a problem. They signed it. Nobody cares. I guess they weren't very exciting. But nobody cares. They signed it for far less important things in some cases, in many cases. We're talking about an invasion of our country with drugs, with human traffickers, with all types of criminals and gangs. We have some of the greatest people I know. They've been with me from the beginning of my campaign, almost from the first week, the Angel Moms. Unfortunately, we have new Angel Moms. One incredible woman just showed me her daughter, who we're talking about, killed in the year of 18. I said, I haven't seen you before. She said, no, I'm new. I said, that's too bad. It's too bad. It's so sad. Stand up just for a second. Show how beautiful your girl was. Thank you. I have such respect for these people. Angel moms, angel dads, angel families. I have great respect for these people. These are great people. These are great people. They're fighting for their children that have been killed by people that were illegally in this country. And the press doesn't cover them. They don't want to, incredibly. And they're not treated the way they should be. They're fighting for other people because they don't want what happened to their children or husband or anybody. We have one young lady whose husband, please, stand up. Your husband was just killed in Maryland. Incredible man, just killed. Beautiful children won't be seeing their father again. These are brave people. These are people that are, they don't have to be here. They don't have to be doing this. They're doing it for other people. So I just want to thank all of you for being here. Okay, I really do. I want to thank you, incredible people. Last year, 70,000 Americans were killed, at least. I think the number is ridiculously low. By drugs, including meth and heroin and cocaine, fentanyl. Now, one of the things that I did with President Xi in China when I met him in Argentina at a summit, before I even started talking about the trade, it was a trade meeting. Went very well, but before I talked about trade, I talked about something more important. I said, listen, we have tremendous amounts of fentanyl coming into our country, kills tens of thousands of people. I think far more than anybody registers. And I'd love you to declare it a lethal drug and put it on your criminal list. And their criminal list is much tougher than our criminal list. Their criminal list, a drug dealer gets a thing called the death penalty. Our criminal list, a drug dealer gets a thing called, how about a fine? And when I asked President Xi, I said, do you have a drug problem? No, no, no. I said, you have 1.4 billion people. What do you mean you have no drug problem? No, we don't have a drug problem. I said, why? Death penalty. We give death penalty to people that sell drugs. End the problem. What do? We set up a blue ribbon committees. Lovely men and women. They sit around a table, they have lunch, they eat, they dine, and they waste a lot of time. So if we want to get smart, we can get smart. You can end a drug problem. You can end it a lot faster than you think. But President Xi's agreed to put fentanyl on his list of deadly drugs, and it's a criminal penalty, and the penalty is death. So that's frankly one of the things I'm most excited about in our trade deal. You want to know the truth? I think maybe there's no more important point. We're going to make billions of dollars with this trade deal. It's going to be great for our country and great for China, I hope. Their market's down close to 40%. Our market's way up. We've picked up, since my election, trillions of dollars of worth. Trillions, many trillions, And China's lost trillions of dollars. But I want it to be good for China, and I want it to be good for the United States. So we'll see what happens. China's coming here next week, by the way. They're coming home, the traders. And then China's coming here next week. And then I'll be meeting with President Xi at some point after that to maybe for some remaining deals, we'll make them directly, one-on-one ourselves. So we're going to be signing today and registering national emergency. And it's a great thing to do because we have an invasion of drugs, invasion of gangs, invasion of people, and it's unacceptable. And by signing the national emergency, something signed many times by other presidents, many, many times, President Obama, in fact, we may be using one of the national emergencies that he signed having to do with cartels, criminal cartels. It's a very good emergency that he signed, and we're going to use parts of it in our dealings on cartels. So that would be a second national emergency, but in that case, it's already in place. And what we really want to do is simple. It's not like it's complicated. It's very simple. We want to stop drugs from coming into our country. We want to stop criminals and gangs from coming into our country. Nobody's done the job that we've ever done. I mean, nobody's done the job that we've done on the border. And in a way, what I did by creating such a great economy, and if the opposing party got in, this economy would be down the tubes. You know, I hear a lot of people say, oh, well, but maybe the previous administration. Let me tell you, the previous administration, it was heading south and it was going fast. We would have been down the tubes. The regulations were strangling our country. Unnecessary regulations. By creating such a strong economy, you just look at your televisions or see what's going on today. It's through the roof. What happens is more people want to come. So we have far more people trying to get into our country today than probably we've ever had before. And we've done an incredible job in stopping them, but it's a massive number of people. If we had the wall, it would be very easy. We would make up for the cost of the wall just at the cost of the fact that I would be able to have fewer people. We wouldn't need all of this incredible talent, some of whom are sitting in the first row. You wouldn't need all of this incredible talent. We would get thousands of law enforcement people, including Border Patrol. You put them in different areas. You have them doing different things. Law enforcement and Border Patrol. And I want to thank law enforcement. And I want to thank Border Patrol. And I want to thank ICE. ICE is abused by the press and by the Democrats. And by the way, we're going to be taking care of ICE. You know, we talk about the new bill. We're going to be taking care of ICE. They wanted to get rid of ICE. And the bill is just the opposite of that. A lot of good things happen. So that's the story. We want to have a safe country. I ran on a very simple slogan, make America great again. If you're going to have drugs pouring across the border, if you're going to have human traffickers pouring across the border in areas where we have no protection, in areas where we don't have a barrier, then very hard to make America great again. But we've done a fantastic job, but we haven't been given the equipment. We haven't been given the walls. And in the bill, by the way, they didn't even fight us on most of the stuff. Ports of entry, we have so much money, we don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with all the money they're giving us. It's crazy. The only place they don't want to give us much money, $1,375,000,000. Sounds like a lot, but it's not so much, although we're putting it to much better use than it used to be. A lot of the past administrations, it was easy to get, they didn't build, or they didn't do what they could have done. It would have been great. It would have been great to have done it earlier, but I was a little new to the job, a little new to the profession. And we had a little disappointment. For the first year and a half, people that should have stepped up did not step up. They didn't step up, and they should have. It would have been easy. Not that easy, but it would have been a lot easier. But some people didn't step up. But we're stepping up now. So we have a chance of getting close to $8 billion. Whether it's $8 billion or $2 billion or $1.5 billion, it's going to build a lot of wall. We're getting it done. We're right now in construction with wall in some of the most important areas. And we have renovated a tremendous amount of wall, making it just as good as new. That's where a lot of the money has been spent on renovation. In fact, we were restricted to renovating, which is okay. But we're going to run out of areas that we can renovate pretty soon. So, and we need new wall. So I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank in particular the angel moms and dads for being here. Thank you very much. We have great respect for you. The real country, our real country, the people that really love our country, they love you. So I just want you to know that. I know how hard you fight, and I know how hard a fight you're having. I also want to thank all of the law enforcement for the job you do. Believe me, our country loves you, and they respect you greatly. And we're giving you a lot of surplus. We're giving you surplus military equipment, which a lot of people didn't like giving previous to this administration. But hundreds of millions of dollars of surplus equipment. And as we get it, as you know, we send it down. And you have much better protection. But I really appreciate you being here. So the order is signed. And I'll sign the final papers as soon as I get into the Oval Office. And we will have a national emergency. And we will then be sued. And they will sue us in the Ninth Circuit, even though it shouldn't be there. And we will possibly get a bad ruling, and then we'll get another bad ruling, and then we'll end up in the Supreme Court, and hopefully we'll get a fair shake, and we'll win in the Supreme Court. Just like the ban, they sued us in the Ninth Circuit, and we lost, and then we lost in the appellate division, and then we went to the Supreme Court, and we won. And it was very interesting, because yesterday they were talking about the ban, because we have a ban. It's very helpful. Madam Secretary, is that right? Without the ban, we'd have a bigger problem. We have a ban on certain areas, certain countries, depending on what's going on in the world. And we won. But somebody said, President Trump lost on the ban. Well, he was right. I lost at the lower court. He didn't say that we ultimately won at the United States Supreme Court. They didn't want to say that. They didn't want to go that far. They were saying how I lost. The person sitting right up here. Donald Trump lost on the ban. Yeah, I did. And then I lost a second time. You should have said that, too. And then it went to the Supreme Court, and I won. Didn't want to take it that far. But we won on the ban, and we won on other things, too. The probably easiest one to win is on declaring a national emergency, because we're declaring it for virtual invasion purposes, drugs, traffickers, and gangs. And one of the things, just to finish, we have removed thousands of MS-13 gang monsters. Thousands. They're out of this country. We take them out by the thousands. And they are monsters. Okay. Do you have any questions? Yeah. John, go ahead.
Yes.
You were prepared. Mr. President, a lot of the money...
Were you saying I was prepared?
With the microphone and prepared for questions.
I thought you meant I was prepared. I couldn't believe you said that. People don't like saying that.
You were prepared for questions.
I am prepared. I'm always prepared.
A lot of the money that goes to count toward your $8 billion is money that's being reprogrammed in the DOD budget. How can you guarantee to military families and to our men and women of the military that none of the money that will be reprogrammed to a wall will take away from other technology, other renovations, construction that is desperately needed in our military?
So, John, we had certain funds that are being used at the discretion of generals, at the discretion of the military. Some of them haven't been allocated yet, and some of the generals think that this is more important. I was speaking to a couple of them. They think this is far more important than what they were going to use it for. I said, what were you going to use it for? And I won't go into details, but didn't sound too important to me. Plus, if you think, I've gotten $700 billion for the military in year one. And then last year, $716 billion. And we're rebuilding our military. But we have a lot. And under the previous administration, our military was depleted, badly depleted. And they weren't spending, I mean, they had a much less, they had a much smaller amount of money. So when I got $700 billion and then $716 billion, and this year it's going to be pretty big too, because there's few things more important than our military. You know, I'm a big deficit believer and all of that, but before we really start focusing on certain things, we have to build up our military. It was very badly depleted. And we're buying all new jet fighters, all new missiles, all new defensive equipment. We'll soon have a military like we've never had before. But when you think about the kind of numbers you're talking about, so you have $700 billion, $716 billion, when I need $2 billion, $3 billion out of that for a wall, which is a very important instrument, very important for the military because of the drugs that pour in. And as you know, we have specific rules and regulations where they have drugs and what you can do in order to stop drugs, and that's part of it too. We're taking a lot of money from that realm also. But when you have that kind of money going into the military, this is a very, very small amount that we're asking for. Now, go ahead. Go ahead. ABC. Not NBC. I like ABC a little bit more, not much. Come on, ABC. Not much. Pretty close.
Mr. President, what do you say to those, including some of your Republican allies, who say that you are violating the Constitution with this move and setting a bad precedent that will be abused by possibly Democratic presidents in the future? Marco Rubio.
Well, not too many people. Yeah, not too many people have said that. But the courts will determine that. Look, I expect to be sued. I shouldn't be sued. Very rarely do you get sued when you do national emergency. And then other people say, oh, if you use it for this, now what are we using it for? We've got to get rid of drugs and gangs and people. It's an invasion. We have an invasion of drugs and criminals coming into our country that we stop, but it's very hard to stop. With a wall, it would be very easy. So I think that we will be very successful in court. I think it's clear. And the people that say we create precedent, well, what do you have, 56 or a lot of times? Well, that's creating precedent. And many of those are far less important than having a border. You don't have a border, you don't have a country. You know, we fight before I got here. We fight all over the world to create borders for countries. But we don't create a border for our own country. So I think what will happen is, sadly, we'll be sued, and sadly, it'll go through a process, and happily, we'll win, I think. Go ahead. Let's go. Let's hear it, NBC. Come
Thank on. You, Mr. President. I just want to say, when in the past, when President Obama tried to use executive action as it related to immigration, you said the whole concept of executive order, it's not the way the country's supposed to be run. You said you're supposed to go through Congress and make a deal. Will you concede that you were unable to make the deal that you had promised in the past, and that the deal you're ending up with now from Congress is less than what you could have had before a 35-day shutdown?
I went through Congress. I made a deal. I got almost $1.4 billion when I wasn't supposed to get $1. Not $1. He's not going to get $1. Well, I got $1.4 billion, but I'm not happy with it. I also got billions and billions of dollars for other things. Port of entries, lots of different things. The purchase of drug equipment, more than we were even requesting. In fact, the primary fight was on the wall. Everything else, we have so much, as I said, I don't know what to do with it. We have so much money. But on the wall, they skimped. So I was successful in that sense, but I want to do it faster. I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this. But I'd rather do it much faster. And I don't have to do it for the election. I've already done a lot of wall for the election, 2020. And the only reason we're up here talking about this is because of the election. Because they want to try and win an election, which it looks like they're not going to be able to do. And this is one of the ways they think they can possibly win, is by obstruction and a lot of other nonsense. And I think that I just want to get it done faster. That's all. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Roberta Rampton from Reuters. I wanted to ask about China. Do you feel that enough progress has been made?
All right. We're on to China now. So that's the big news of the morning. The president, after Congress sent him a measure that included $1.4 billion for a wall, he has declared a national emergency, and he will use other monies that are in the current federal budget, and he will expand the building fund. So, as he said, it will go to court, and we shall see. So, anyway, again, my bottom line on this is, you know, it's shameful that Congress doesn't do the right thing on our border, right? And again, if you talk to the members of the military that are down there, I mean, they'll tell you jaw-dropping stories about the drugs that come through, about the people that come through, about, you know, about catch and release. I mean, all these things, and you hear it in greater detail. I guess if you have somebody in the that's with the Border Patrol in your family, you would be privy to that, but I was not. And then, but again, this has been going on now for decades, and all you have to do is talk to people who live in the communities down there, and they'll tell you, yeah, it's crazy. So, again, I think Congress, for years, for whatever reason, can't seem to do the right thing down there. And so, again, I hope that the president's actions get us closer to resolution in terms of border security, in terms of the Dreamers, in terms of the parents of the Dreamers, and let's get beyond that as a nation. We have more important to do, things like job creation that supports families. This whatever economic deal we cut with China is extremely important to the nation because it stops China, it hopefully will stop China from continuing to steal our intellectual property, dumping in terms of predatory fashion in the United States through third-party countries, steel and things like that, and assaulting American industries. And again, those are the industries that used to support families. And so there's a whole series of issues that the United States needs to get to. And this is just, in my opinion, just stupid. It's just a political issue. And I think if you ask most people in the country, they would tell you the following, right? Secure the border. Do whatever you have to do, whether it's technology, walls, barriers, whatever you want to call it, and personnel. Get what we need down there to stop the craziness that we see down there. Okay? Two, you're right, give the Dreamers a path to citizenship. They did nothing wrong. And three, with their parents, we don't like it that they came here illegally, and that's the first thing they ever did. But you know what? They're here, and we're not going to deport 11 million people. So let's allow them to come out of the shadows, have a legal status in this country, plead guilty to some kind of high misdemeanor, and if you keep your nose clean, you can stay in this country, and let's move on to greater things. I would think the majority of Americans, some might be upset with that, would say, you know what, I can live with that. So, anywho, and to Ann Coulter, take a Valium, honey. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On your home for it, The Shuffle. Join us next here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees and built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.